Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Well, let me start out with how I reacted when I first heard what you're going to hear today. I really didn't believe it was possible that AI could crank out compelling copy in a conversational, persuasive voice. But I reconnected with my old mentoring client, Jason Parker, last week. And by old, I mean it's been over a decade since we worked together. He's not all that old himself. That's another story. When he showed me what he's come up with, I didn't believe my eyes at first. But then he showed me how he was doing it. And with no background material other than the book title, he had AI write a pretty decent sales letter for my book, The Persuasion Story Code, in about 2 minutes. Now, recently, I found my way to Jason because the only other person in his agency, Brian Halpin, was online talking about a webinar, 80% written by AI, that generated just shy of $900,000 for a client. And talking further with Jason, I found out his agency was scoring win after win, over $4 million a month for Launch Medical, $500,000 a month for Acacia di Trader, an Italian financial publishing business, and other improbable but documented big, impressive successes. I asked Jason if I could dig into what he was doing and how he was doing it, and he shared a lot with me. Meanwhile, he emphasized that in the time that we spent together preparing for this, we were only scratching the surface. But the most important thing I've seen is that he's found AI to stop writing like what we're used to seeing from ChatGPT. And he's found a way to pour a lot of proven copywriting knowledge and techniques into custom bots. I asked him to come on the show and share some of it with us. He very graciously agreed to do so. I should also let you know that I've agreed to tell you this first. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you hear what you hear, how you use what you hear, how you use what you hear in this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So Jason, welcome and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And honestly, I always kind of wanted to meet Nathan because I'm drawn to eccentric people and he has a tattoo on his face. So I'm like, I'd like to meet this guy. But honestly, it's great to connect.
Yeah. So did I get anything wrong in the intro? I'm describing your business, but it's like so different from anything I've seen. Was that correct?
Sure. I will say with Launch Medical, it's funny. We were with Charles Kirkland as the co-owner of Parker & Kirkland. And we actually started Parker & Kirkland because we had pretty much an exclusive with them. And we generated like $34 million in 1 year with them. But the owner died. That's why we started the agency. But we had a great deal with them. But we will never do an exclusive again because it doesn't matter how great things are looking, the owner could die. So you know what happens when you have a company that's kind of on the verge of becoming what it was, shareholders moving in and all this sort of thing, and things getting moving around and things becoming more. I do have a different vision of what I think about branding now, but I don't want to get too far off the rails here as far as that goes. But yeah, Brian was talking to you about the webinar that did 945 sales for $997 a piece. So close to $1 million. And I hadn't seen a webinar perform like that in 10 years or so. So it shocked me. It's not like every day we go and do that. And there are a lot of different variables involved, as you know, anything like a webinar generating almost $1 million. So, you know, copywriting, although we use a lot of AI on it, we use mostly AI. That's only like one of 10 different variables that made that work. Let me just give credit where it's due all around. You know, I'm like every marketer. I want to take credit for everything. But in this case, every case, there's so many variables involved. So, but yeah, you got it
right. But clearly the writing isn't going to do it by itself, but without the writing, it's not going to happen at all. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, cause I mean, it was 130, we did a 135 page campaign for that. And we did it, we wrote it, and I don't want to tell because I don't want the clients to hear how fast we wrote it. No, I'm just kidding. But we wouldn't have been able to do that in a reasonable amount of time or take on multiple clients beyond that client if we had to come up with a 135 page campaign manually, because it used to take us 30 days to write a campaign like that, or even less than that, you know, 50 to 100 page. But when GPT came along, we cut that process down to 2 weeks. When bots started coming around, we cut that process down to a few days. If we have a rev share with a company, we obviously do a lot more manual polishing and tweaking and whatnot. So, you know, a lot of manual care goes into it after it's written, but the legwork is done by AI. And like you said, it's we've made it conversational. That's been my interest in AI, is making it conversational and emotional and hard hitting. And I feel like that solves 80% of the problem with AI. And that's why I focused on that. That's my interest. And I do it through a way of what I call is using conversational devices. And it's because I studied English in college and it was completely useless back in early 2000s, you know, 2002. But now I'm finding everything that I learned that was useless back then is now useful in AI. So it's kind of an interesting thing. And I'm sure it's a geeky thing to talk about, but.
Oh, yeah, but we're copywriters. We're not sports stars. So that's okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, what impressed me the most was, I mean, I've seen stuff coming out of AI that makes me want to puke. And you seem to have found a way with your conversational devices to cut all the crap out of the output. You showed me economical writing rules that you would put in. I mean, could you talk about some of the things that you're doing that change the tone and tenor of the output? Just to start with?
Yeah. And the thing is you can get as granular as you want on this. And this is what I was talking about. And it's related to exactly what you're saying. How I was talking about everything that you learned in college is now relevant. So like get down to the parts of speech, you know, like verbs and nouns. Some nouns and some verbs are obviously more vivid than others. Some are more abstract. I'm sure you've heard of like the ladder of abstraction, where you have a concrete word over here on this side of the ladder. And then over here you have more abstract words, so concrete versus abstract. Obviously, conversational wordage is more on the concrete side. So instead of doing what everyone else does and programs or prompts AI to give you, you just tell it, write as you're the greatest copywriter in the world, that sort of thing. I get very granular with it because I'm programming it to write very vivid and concrete words down to the parts of speech. So I'm literally telling it down to the parts of speech. And the devices we're using too, I mean, beyond that, you know, beyond the ladder of abstraction, there are a lot of devices like such as analogies, euphemisms, and there's idioms and hyperbole. You know, all these devices that you hear about that are actually conversational translate really well into AI, but you have to understand what that is. And it goes all the way back to the stuff you never thought was, relevant back in the day. When you're in college or even in high school, like you're learning this stuff in high school.
Yeah. We had a guy on the podcast. I know him. I can't think of his name right now. Great guy. And he wrote this document. It's kind of secret. It's floating around the internet. It's called Cornpone. And it's basically a collection of all the phrases and words that Gary Halbert used. And that's kind of what you're talking about, right? I mean, Yeah, ladder of abstraction seems kind of pointless until the rubber meets the road and you've got to create something that's going to connect with someone in a single sentence. Mm-hmm. And then you know that something that creates a sensory response or an emotional response or a visualization is going to work a lot better than something that's kind of like mental chess about one idea, you know, recursive to another and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Which, you know, absolutely might work well when you're teaching computer programming architecture or something like that, but doesn't work too well when you have one human trying to communicate persuasively with another.
Yeah, it does. It seems useless until AI came along. And I can tell you that's what made the difference. And it's kind of weird. It's almost like I was born for this period of time in particular. I fell naturally into it. Because of my background in English and literature and being a writer my whole life. And like when I studied under you, I was in my 20s when I studied under you.
Yeah.
And I've always loved copywriting, but that was my way of learning how to make a living with writing, because I've always just been a writer. And, you know, but now it's like I've been able to take the things that I thought were useless and use them. But that's where people, I think, go wrong in this, if they are attempting to make something conversational, is that they're not getting granular enough with it. And the AI understands these rules down to what a verb is and down to the parts of speech, down to different types of phrases and literary devices. It knows what those things are, but you have to know what they are in order to program them in. So that's where it gets tricky. You have to just be a dweeb like us to do it. That's the problem. But
yes, well, you know, dweebs create the world, and then the normies take credit for it. I don't know. So when, just in terms of these rules, I mean, most people might write a prompt with, you know, 5 or 6 rules, right? You told me, I think, that you have like 100 pages of rules or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've came up with this concept because I came up with it because I don't know if I'm okay with plugging John Benson's thing, but it will seem like I'm plugging, but I work on Benson with him, Benson AI, BNSN. So that's one thing I do. But one thing I was brought in to do was make that conversational. And, you know, it was already conversational. It's already brilliant. I mean, it's all based on his work and millions of dollars. And it's really like his work that's, it's John basically programmed into Benson AI is what it is. So we're working on his frameworks and whatnot. But I was brought in pretty much because I'm able to manipulate things down to that granular level in terms of what is conversational or not. But I just kind of, I lost my train of thought there. ask me the question one more time.
Oh, yeah. I was saying that the number of rules that you're giving the AI are an order of magnitude or more than what most people do, like 100 pages.
Okay, yeah. Oh, this is what I was trying to get at before I flew off the rails. I came up with this concept of prompt chunking. So I basically, what you're referring to with that that document is a bunch of chunks of prompts. So I have AI that I've created that create chunks of prompts that can be assembled in different ways so that we can build a prompt very fast, or we could tweak a prompt very fast. But essentially, it's a library of conversational devices, but in prompt chunk form. So that means that there are rules and they are examples, but they're in chunks of rules and examples, if that makes sense, so that I can go through the library of them. If I'm building something, copy and paste it in, I can make something more conversational here or there. I can say, oh, this needs to be more economical. I can copy and paste in a prompt chunk that is just writing to be more brief in general. Like, that's one way to do it. But you can get very granular with it, where you have prompt chunks that are talking about the parts of speech, talking about various types of phrasing. But AI is very smart at creating these chunks to begin with. But what you saw was like a library of them that I've created for, that was actually for like my own personal library that I use. But anytime I see one that works well, I'll just copy and paste it into a document, because now I have all these prompt chunks. I could go take over and I can assemble however I want when I'm creating something new, or just to tweak something. Because when I was on Rich Sheffern's show, I built him something that writes reports exactly like him. So it has a built-in database, a knowledge base of reports. But I had to tweak that over a few days to make it write just like him. And that requires something like chunking to be able to do that, I guess is what I'm saying. So it's not just, in my mind, it's more like assembling. It's assembling from the beginning, but it's also a way to tweak, is just by chunking. Just think about it in terms of chunking, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. That helps a lot.
Yeah,
I don't know how much sense that makes to everybody.
Well, I'm loving it, because I think what you're talking about is the missing piece. People who have been trying to sell other people on using AI to write copy don't understand how copy is real. They might be able to do it, but they don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand how to teach it. They don't understand how to teach it to another person. They certainly don't know how to teach it to another machine. Nathan, I noticed you're here.
Yeah, I got a real quick question for you. So when you're talking about this, I've seen two different approaches, and David and I have kind of worked in the background on a couple of things. Generally, when I'm writing, or when I'm using AI to kind of get a baseline for what I'm going to write, I'll have some rules. I'll have my
persona, I'll have my product data sheet, and then I'll have, this is the way I want the copy laid out. When you're saying chunking, are you talking about after you've kind of got what you want, then you know, then you have certain things that you look at it and go back and massage it with different prompts, or do those prompts come in all at once at the beginning?
Both. So a lot of times I will start with chunking together what I think would be a good prompt. But then if I'm tweaking it, and obviously you're taking chunks out and you're adding chunks. So it's both, exactly what you're saying. If that makes
sense. Okay, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the process I came up with recently because I was writing so many prompts for that platform. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's good. No, it's efficient. One thing you had said when we first started talking that makes more sense to me now than it did at the time is you could actually take a book like Gene Schwartz's Brilliance Breakthrough and create a whole grammar out of it, which if you could do and you could get AI to write using those principles, I think that's next level. I think you could be writing speeches for people at the UN, you know, I mean, just because of the power of what Gene is talking about. Could you talk about that a little more?
Yeah. So I love Brilliance Breakthrough. You're the one that turned me on to all of Eugene Schwartz stuff. Let me just show you real quick. Okay. On my desk at all times, I have probably like my fifth or sixth copy of Breakthrough Advertising because I give it to all my friends. But anyway, Brilliance Breakthrough. I've taken that conceptually, you can take that, and it's really Brilliance Breakthrough is a series of fragments, is all it is. So if you really wanted to translate that into something that AI can use, you have to speak to the AI in terms of fragments and giving it grammar rules, making it understand that it's creating a whole new system of grammar, and then it's going to do it in a series of fragments. Because I have created something that it's not exactly, it's inspired by Brilliance Breakthrough, and it creates one image per fragment, just like in Brilliance Breakthrough. But it's not like I went through the whole book and I was like, I'm going to get this down to the T. I was just like, one day I was thinking maybe I could turn this something like this into AI, and it can be done precisely as in Brilliance Breakthrough. But what I've done, and it probably made it a little too punchy the way I did it, but I was able to break basically sentences, make them conversational, and then break them in fragments the way Schwartz did in that book, which is, you know, a lot of times there wouldn't be like a verb. I mean, like, you know how fragmented that writing is. But what came to mind and what made it kind of work when I was working with it was speaking to AI in terms that it understands, and it understands what fragments are. And that's kind of like the point I want to make, that if you're trying to communicate to AI in a way that it will understand, it's going to have to be the most precision possible. But it's almost like you have to translate it into AI speak, you know what I mean? So like when I'm working on John's stuff, he's like, you know, amazing. He told me to tell you hi, by the way, John Benson.
Yeah,
hi. But his rules, he has like very specific set of copy editing rules, but you can't tell the AI those rules. You have to translate them into something AI will understand. And that's usually by getting very grammatical and by speaking in terms of fragments and speaking in terms of literary devices, because it's just, that's why people don't get good results with AI, because it doesn't understand precisely what you're talking about. That's the only problem.
Yeah. So let me pull something out of what you just said, which I think is great. What you're saying is actually there is a programming language for AI. We all thought it was natural language, but you're saying it's not like C++ or Python or something. It's English, but you have to talk to it in a certain way that's really different than you talk to anything else.
Yes. It will understand. If you could think of like a spectrum, for example, I've never thought about this analogy before, but let's say there's a spectrum, and the way people mostly talk to AI is sort of like on this spectrum, the side of the spectrum over here, which is kind of vague. It's only vague to AI. In your mind, it seems clear and vivid what you're telling it to do. But on the other side of the spectrum is actually like what AI is going to understand precisely. And that's why people can't get the result they're looking for, is because they don't know how to translate what they're trying to get it to do into something that AI can fully understand, so that you get absolute control over the AI. And it's not like you can completely control it, because it's not perfect, but you've seen how conversational the copy can get. And you can get damn good control over it by feeding it things that it understands in terms of the grammatical rules and punctuation rules and telling it to break certain rules, but giving it, you know, telling it to break certain rules, but also speaking in, into the, speaking to it in those terms as well. And I don't think there's many people, like, honestly, if you're an English major, you should probably go into AI. Like, that's what I think. That's how revolutionary I think this approach is to it. You should just quit school and go into AI because that's, you mean, that's what you mean, understand.
If you're an English major, you shouldn't aspire to be an English professor so you can be locked out of your building by angry students.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just bullshitting. I have no idea. Go ahead.
No. I totally agree with you. I'm teasing. I mean, the one thought that I had is I have always said that anyone using AI should kind of have an idea of what they want the output to look like before they start. And they should be able to communicate that. And then, you know, and then also they should be able to review what the AI has done and fix it. So there, AI works as an assistant that you need to guide and then correct rather than, you know, as a genie in a bottle. But I think you're taking it to an even more precise level. You need to program or instruct or set up rules for the AI at a much more knowledgeable, expert, and granular level than I was thinking before. If you want, yes. And if you do that, maybe you're not going to have to correct the output as much. But one way or the other, there's going to have to be human knowledge at different points in the process for at least in 2024 as we're speaking.
Well, it's kind of interesting, David, because I think that you would be awesome at it. And I'll say, I know that because you used to coach me personally over a decade ago, and I remember your teachings. And one thing you had me do, and I'm not going to go into the propriety of stuff that I said I would never tell anybody, but, and I never have to this day, but I know that you had me lock in a certain number of rules about writing based on a certain book. And those are rules that I will always remember. But think about the way you teach people how to write copy, and it's through rules and examples. That's how you teach AI as well. I mean, it's kind of funny. It's like that, but the rules have to be grammatical. I mean, they don't always have to be. You can get a good output, you know, but it's just like if you want consistent control over it, that's what you do.
Yeah. I mean, I know our time is limited, but one other thing I saw you did is you gave AI great templates and structures that I think you put a considerable amount of thought and owning into. And that's one reason that it's able to produce such near finished copy. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a totally different approach than what we've been talking about this whole time. So that's a more templated approach, which means everything is completely templated out word for word. It's not very organic. It's not going to be a very organic output.
Oh, I didn't realize
everything so far
that,
yeah. We're talking about. Yeah. These are distinctions I've come up with myself. Like I teach a class.
Would you use all?
Could potentially do that. So a templated, I call it templated because it's highly templated in terms of you have, you know, if you were going to put a sales page into something, and I think this is what mainly people are doing who are selling AI programs, or they have, you know, like I have a sentence and then they have places to fill in for the AI to fill in. Now that's more of like a templated approach. This whole time before this, we've been talking about more of a organic approach to get it to think beyond that, to dimensionalize things, I guess it's probably a good word. Dimensionalize things with its own thinking, I guess, if that makes sense. So it's just two different approaches.
It does. It's kind of like you're teaching AI to think like a copywriter, right? A little bit.
That's how I came up with it. Yeah. And I'm not sure like who else has cracked the code in terms of conversational copy, but that's the approach I took to do it. But I know John out there is freaking brilliant.
There may be other people, but you know, to my mind, no one. I mean, yeah, I guess John has, but his is a highly templated approach, or was at least for a while, right?
He is brilliant. Like, oh my gosh, John is so brilliant. Like, I was brought in to make it to do what I do on it, but the stuff he has is literally like, it's scary how far ahead is, you know, his program is, his platform is. But I came in to help it make, you know, just make it more conversational, even though, you know, it was pretty conversational and economical. But I don't know of anybody who has gone to the depths I have to control AI in terms of being conversational.
There might be someone, but I, you know, I haven't heard of them. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, you weren't resistant to coming on, but you haven't exactly been promoting this because you're running an agency. You're actually using it rather than seeking guru status, which you could easily do if you wanted. I don't think that's what you want to do, but up to
you. I teach a little class on it. It's literally less than 20 people, but like Pauline Longden's in it. You can ask her about it. She loves it. But there's some big names in there that are learning. And it's normally business owners who want to come in and learn. But like I love the Benson's platform is awesome if you're like a copywriter. So that's a great place to go. But I just, what I teach is like when people come in, it's people who really just want to fire the copywriters. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry to say that. It's people who want to come in and they don't want to pay their copywriters anymore. And even people like Pauline, like she has a lot of copywriters under her. She would rather keep that money. I mean, who wouldn't? But it's not like that was my interest. I came up with it out of necessity from having an agency. I didn't want to have to hire a bunch of copywriters. It's not like I was this turbo AI nerd going into this stuff. It was the fact that I have Brian, and Brian's ex-Agora, and Brian's awesome. But I wanted it just to be me, Brian, and AI, and we have an awesome person named Kelly, who's not a copywriter, but she's awesome. And then Charles is awesome. He's not a copywriter. He's okay at copy, but it's me and Brian plus AI instead of 10 copywriters. And I'm not sure if that's an accurate, complete assessment. But as we grew, I'm like, I just don't want to have a whole team under me. I have before. And I taught the AI to write like how I did the team that was working under me before. It's just kind of interesting giving it rules and examples and stuff like that. So that's why I think you would be great at what I do, because you understand the distinctions in story and you understand distinctions and the very minute details that would make something conversational. I think you would be great at that personally. I mean, you would be like me.
I'm interested, and I know you're super busy right now, but I will get in touch with you because I've been looking for someone who understands this, and clearly you do. And I don't know, Rich Sheffrin and John Benson and Pauline Longden can't all be wrong. So there you go. All right. So
well, it's funny,
wants to get in touch. Yeah, go ahead. Well,
no, I think it's so funny how that when you first started talking about this, I knew that you didn't believe me, and no one does, and that's why I had to send you that stuff. No one does. That's the thing, like, because they just don't know what's happening.
No,
how could they? It's such a small world.
I've been shitposting about AI, and you know, I had not gone 1/100th as deep as you had, but from what I'd seen, and then you know, a friend would send me something, and I thought, oh God, this is like
it's terrible.
You know. This is like the first assignment from AWAI or something. I mean, it's just awful. Anyway, yeah. So if someone wants to get in touch with you, they should. You're basically available.
Email me at jason@parkerkirkland.com. So jason@parkerkirkland.com, or you can go to my site, parkerkirkland.com. But I'd rather you just email me. Like I'm really busy. I have a ton of clients and whatnot. And if you just don't contact me, I'll never hear from you. Like you'll get lost in something. You'll just be talking to somebody else.
Jason at Parker Kirkland, and Kirkland like in Kirkland, Washington, Kirkland, Costco, like jason at parkerkirkland.com. Yeah, and we'll put the agency info in the show notes too.
Sounds good.
I really appreciate you coming on, man, sharing what you're doing with the listeners. David and I are we tiptoe into AI. We don't cover it enough on the podcast, and I think that's because not enough copywriters are doing what you're doing with it, and it's rare that we have an example that we can bring to the listeners of something that actually matters, and that's what you did today. So I really appreciate you coming on.
It's awesome talking about it. I love the subject. Yeah, well, you certainly know it. You live it and breathe it and eat it and sleep it, and you're producing with it, so that's pretty amazing.
If people want to check you out or learn more, get in touch with your agency, parkerkirkland.com. We'll make sure to have that in the show notes. You can find the show notes for this episode and 372 other episodes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later.
Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.